Fat boy.
You know we had to do a podcast, right?
What's your name, fat body?
Yeah, of course, you're a looking food. What the
hell? I'm not fat. I'm big bone.
I'm gonna eat it.
You owe me for one jelly donut.
My wife said no one did a lot.
I've got bigger titties than you did.
Bullshit, because nobody fucking had geese back at that point for a bigger guy.
I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I might be somebody's shot of whiskey.
You can't think about, hey, I need to lose 100 pounds. You think about winning that day.
Fucking, I want a cheeseburger and a milkshake.
Yo, Fatleets, what's up? And welcome to episode 24 of the Fat Boy Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. I'm your host, Juan Santiago. So episode 24, I have, I caught up with my good friend Andrea, Andrea Lowe, on Instagram as Super Fit by Andrea, and you know she's been on the podcast before, and we caught up, and it's kind of crazy to me how this journey of, you know, starting not just, you know, losing weight, but starting the podcast and you know, putting my life out there a little more has really got me to meet a lot of cool people, and obviously she's one of them. So insert the audio there. Yesterday we had about an hour conversation, and of course, like, you know, I take up so much of her time, and she's a busy woman, man. She's, you know, out there training people, showing them how to, you know, use a raw diet to get to their goals. So, you know, she's on her shit. So taking about an hour and a half of her time is crazy. So I would like to thank her. And, you know, let you guys know what's going on in the life of Fat Boy in the last week. No real weight loss. Actually, I've kind of gone up. I gone up like a pound and 1.6 pounds. And I'm kind of staying right there for now. And it's kind of getting me to think about meal planning more. I've kind of got to the point where I'm like, oh, I kind of know what I'm doing. I know what to eat. I know how kind of the amounts to eat. But I think I'm going to, because I'm starting to see a plateau, and I knew eventually this is going to happen, that I need to 100% kind of build my meals beforehand so I know what I'm going to eat and I know the exact macros, or at least what could be. I've been really hesitant about doing that. I really don't like doing that. And that's something that's actually kind of probably hurt me in the long run in all of my diets, because I don't like to focus on that. And, you know, even, well, I did see, I used to always cook chicken and veggies, and that was it. And that worked for a little bit, but I wasn't. But then again, I fucking probably cheated a lot back then too. So, oh shit, that's right. Yeah, yesterday, 5 weeks, 5 weeks since the four sushi rolls that I devoured while my buddy stared at me in disgust. He'd probably say he didn't, but I know he did. So I don't think I talked about this on the last podcast. I think it came out before that. The last UFC event, but that, man, Darren Till versus Cowboy, holy shit. I know you probably listened to it, heard other people talking about it and stuff, and I'm just fucking amazed. That kid, Till is awesome. He really made, Cowboy look horrible, man, and Cowboy's no slouch, so to outclass Cowboy like that, that's fucking, you got some talent, and definitely, you know, put him on my radar to keep a track, keep an eye on him and see what he's doing. And I started following on Instagram. He just bought a Rolex. This fucking guy's awesome. Fucking happy for him, you know? And then during the week, nothing's really happened. You know, just sticking strong to the no sweetener. I'm actually really liking it. Definitely can tell that my taste buds are changing. And I don't necessarily need anything sweet. Or when something's really sweet now, it's... I used to look at people when they told me that, oh, that's too sweet. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is perfect. And I'm becoming one of those people, oh, this is too sweet. But it's fucking delicious. It's fucking amazing how... I was actually thinking the last sweet thing I had was my friend who made that keto mousse. So I went ahead and I tried the recipe, and it is fucking delicious. The amount of mousse it says it's for four servings. If you fucking eat one of those in just four servings, that's a lot of fucking mousse. I didn't like it like that. It's one of those kind of just nice little fat bombs in a mousse form, really. That's how I'm using that. Obviously, that has sweetener because it just the way the recipe is. I guess I could try to make it without a sweetener. It didn't even dawn on me to do that. But I don't know how because it's sour cream, cheese, and butter. I don't know how that's... Or cream cheese, I mean. I don't know how that's going to taste. Other than that, you know, This last week was kind of hard. My son was sick part of the week, and my wife was out of town on for work. And my daughter, man, she let us know that she runs this house. This girl, she's gonna be tremendous when she's growing up, man. She already has a. She likes things a certain way, and if she doesn't get it her way, she lets you know that it's not to her liking. So it's kind of scary, so we'll see what comes of it. And it's baby's first Halloween. We haven't really gotten her Halloween costume yet. Don't know what we're going to do. Thinking something in superhero theme to match her brother. Don't know quite yet, but it's, you know, it's, those baby first are always, exciting moments and, you know, really good times. And, you know, I actually had to miss a seminar today, Dwayne Bang Ludwig's seminar in Tampa. And it's cause, you know, the last couple weekends I've been doing other stuff and haven't really spent much time at home. So it just... You know, I had to put family first, you know. I don't get much free time, you know, still work a 9 to 5, and sometimes it feels like it's a 9 to 9, because it is sometimes. But, you know, got to keep my priorities straight. So, I you know, it pains me that I had to miss that seminar, but, you know, I've been planning a trip to go see, to go visit Dwayne up there in Denver and train with him for a couple of days. One of my, heavyweight friends, Nick Rorick, I never pronounce his name right. It's horrible. But Nick, Big Nick lives out there in, Denver. So I'm going to definitely, you know, take him up on his offer and go for like a, can't do a whole week, but it's probably be like a weekend training thing, maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and fly back on Sunday. Those are pretty cool. And I actually haven't done something like that. My instructor, he has a friend here right now from Miami that's actually moving on Tuesday to Chicago, and he's like, no, I just came to visit my buddy, I'm moving, and, you know, we're gonna train, and we're gonna go out party, and I'm like, fuck, you know, I haven't done fucking anything like that lately, and I'm getting the itch to go hunting and but I don't want to go to like a platter like we did before. I want to start getting my hunting license so I can go, but it's a rabbit hole that I'm not sure I want to go down just yet. But I want to, like, I definitely want to do it. I just don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole yet. And you know what? I'm kind of worried right now. Two things. Halloween used to be a lot bigger for me. Obviously, before me and my wife had kids, we'd always go downtown Orlando. And downtown Orlando goes crazy for Halloween. Like, there's no party like downtown Orlando for Halloween. It is crazy. And I love the area. There's so many people I know out there, and it's so great. You run into everybody you know in Orlando for Halloween, and it's such a good time. It's always been a good time. And then, you know, the only thing you have to deal with is on two or three street corners, you have the religious people saying that we're all sinners, you're all going to hell, and you need to repent, you know, and they're just sitting there with fucking protesting everybody. But it's nonetheless, it's a good time. I've always had some of the greatest memories my friends have. It's all based around Halloween. And now, you know, when you get kids, it's kind of, you kind of go away from that because you can't go out Halloween night, right? And what the last couple of years have actually transitioned nicely, because as you guys know, I've gotten, or maybe you guys don't know, I have developed a love for... Yes, hold up. Yes, I have developed a love for electronic music. And it's not... Well, you know what? No, actually, I love it. I went to EDC, what was it, in 2014, and oh shit, yes, so that's coming up, you know, in that's actually what my wife got me for my birthday present, was the 2-day tickets to EDC, and that's coming up in the second week of November. So so back to it, like, I started, I got free tickets. A guy I work with is a DJ. He DJs electronic music, and he goes, "Hey, I got these 2 tickets. I can't go. Do you want to check it out?" I was like, "Fuck yeah." My wife couldn't go, so I took one of my friends from the gym, and we went. We had a fucking blast. I used to go to Rock the Bells festivals when they had them in Miami, and I loved them. I love music festivals, right? But let's be real. Hip-hop music festivals sometimes get violent. People always want to fight. Fuck around, step on someone's shoes, and you know, you're catching fucking elbows left and right. So EDC, when we went, it was not like, it was so cool. The music was decent. Like, I really didn't like that at that point. But I was like, all right, let's. But I do love bass. I've always loved bass. And EDC, there's plenty of that. So got into going, and then I saw a couple of friends that I, you know, we mutually know, were also there. So we linked up with them, and it was a blast. And man, it was that first year musically was not as great as anything I've ever been to before, but just the experience of everybody being so cool and loving, like, it was just so fucking dope. And then the following year, I went with my wife, and she got hooked. And then, like, we kind of go every year now. Now, big, like, we've always, we talk about going to Vegas to do it. And I don't think, last year was the first year I went 2 days. And that second day was very difficult for me. I was tired of shit, out of shape, like my fucking ankles and feet hurt. And this was, I was wearing some dad shoes. I had some New Balance with fucking the heel of the New Balance. It was for people who overpronate, because I have a overpronation issue. So the heel is fucking like 3 inches thick. And just ugly, fat, running shoe-looking like thing. Definitely dad shoes. But I had to wear them because that's the only shoe that I can comfortably walk in for any amount of time that wouldn't kill my feet. So I'm definitely interested to see how well I do this year walking out there and dancing and partying. And, you know, I am... I am a little nervous about the drinking aspect. Now, last year, the year before that, we went crazy drinking. Friend snuck in booze. Oh, and then I met a girl that I knew. My wife was with us. Relax. So we met up with this chick, and she knew some guy who fucking worked the event, and he helped set up the stage. He was a rigger. And what he ended up doing was he smuggled in, while rigging, some fucking handle bottles of Bacardi. So we were in the crowd taking shots from a fucking handle bottle. And so we were going fucking hard. Last year, we didn't go too crazy because the fucking drinks went crazy expensive. It was like $11 or $12 for a fucking beer. That's fucking ridiculous. So we pre-gamed a lot. Oh, my God, did we pre-game. Man, I'm trying to tell how to tell this story without, because it's not. Well, I'm not saying this to offend anybody, but it was just crazy. We, obviously we're not going to drive. We knew we were going to drink. So we order an Uber. And, this was when Uber first started, letting older cars. Cause at one point it was, if your car wasn't, what was it, 07 or 05 or newer, like you couldn't drive for them. Well, they had kind of changed that last year. So they had, I think they need to fucking forewarn somebody. I was so drunk, I didn't realize what was going on. And I wasn't drunk. I wasn't paying attention. Mainly because I probably had one or too many shots at that point, you know, pre-gaming. Anyways, my wife noticed it immediately, and I didn't. And she was like, this Cadillac pulls up, and I see him. My sister lives on a cul-de-sac, and we were there. And the guy pulls through the cul-de-sac and slowly drive by creeps through the cul-de-sac. And back over and stops in front of my sister's house. Well, I was walking out, so I didn't really... I saw him kind of slowly creeping, but I didn't see him or anything. So as he pulls up, my wife goes, "You sure you want to get in?" I was like, yeah. So she gets in the back seat, and I'm like, I think the whole people just driving in the back seat, jumping in like Uber and stuff, I think that's so weird. So I always kind of jump in the passenger seat. I didn't even notice it then. So I put on my seatbelt, and then I see him touch something with the stylus. And I was like, I didn't really pay attention. we start driving, and I notice the car is kind of swerving left and right a little bit. And I look. My man, when you're not expecting this, this is the craziest thing to see when you're paying somebody to take you somewhere. And I'm not saying he cannot do the job. I'm just saying it's crazy as fuck. My man has no legs. He's missing an arm and he's missing a hand. So he's driving. His hook is kind of driving the car. His shoulder, where the hook has to turn and kind of to make turns. And when we made that first turn, that's when I noticed. I was like, holy fuck, I'm in for a ride. The turns, he's making them about as wide as semi-truck drivers. And it was, the weirdest part was, because he has no fingers, what he had to do was to use a stylus, but he had a stylus that was basically just affixed to his mouth the whole time. And trying to swipe and on your phone and you know, go through, that was weird to see. And I mean, I commend the guy because it's awesome that he's been able to do that and finds. I'm just, it's kind of crazy to, when you're not expecting it. And I was, it was fucking crazy. That's it. But we got there safe. We fucking partied our asses off. And so then the next day we go back and just, I was dead. I don't think we lasted the entire, second day. We couldn't. We were, we're getting old, you know, as much as I want to. So that right now tells us, like, 3 days in Vegas may not be, and Vegas is, you know, all night. This is, being that it's in Orlando and it's in the heart of downtown, I think it's midnight that they close up. So it's, this is also kind of crazy because it's EDC during mid-afternoon day. I think Friday they open at noon or 1. Same thing on Saturday. And then it's all day. So you're sitting in the sun all day. So it's, but it's crazy fun. I got about 6 friends this year. And every year we kind of link up with more and more friends. And it's fucking great. It's a blast. So I think I want to drink, and then the problem is I kind of want to because of the party, right? And I have before, and I don't know if it's, I think that I won't have a good enough time if I don't drink, but I want to make sure I have a good time, you know? And it's one of those, do I really need to drink to have a good time? You know? I know if I drink, it's going to probably kick me out of ketosis and, you know, just make me feel like shit for a couple of days. And I don't know if I want that. So, oh shit, I'm rewatching the cowboy fight. Damn. The plus about it is, if I don't drink, I'll save a shitload of money. Because like last year, you know, since we don't buy the tickets day of or anything, we try to get them as early as we can because they're a little cheaper. But when we go and I'm going to drink, you know, like I said, $10, $11 a fucking beer, 7 beers, 2 people. Then you add some food in there, and that's what I'm worried about too. because I'm worried about the food situation. Because those festivals, they don't really ever have good food. I know last year he had there was pitas and stuff like that. So I can probably deconstruct the pita and eat that. But I just want to know, I'm just wondering how much, you know, how many options would that be? And I should have been thinking about this before, you know, seeing if I can fast for both days or try to just do before I go to the event, one big ass meal, fill up, don't eat, you know, just drink water the rest of the night. So I still haven't figured out what I'm going to do with that. But we shall see. On other news, today I fucking killed a 20K row. That was an hour and a half on the rower and just fucking going nonstop. And let me tell you what, 10Ks seem like fucking dog shit now. They don't seem as hard. The 20K is all fucking just, man, there's a couple times there I did want to stop. I know the fucking rower too, it fucking counts down on the one units that I like looking at, the one menu. And so it counts down. And when it was at, what was it, 1,300 meters, I was just like, what the fuck? At that point, I took off my shirt and I was like, oh my God, this is fucking, this is going to kill. And I think at that point I was 23 or 25 minutes in. And I knew, I was just like, this is going to fucking suck. And what really fucked with me was the projected time finish was telling me an hour and a half. And I was just like, fuck. To think about doing for an hour and a half, you know. And then home stretch, once you hit an hour, you're just like, fuck, you've been on the fucking rower for an hour and you still have another half an hour left to go. It's fucking, it's brutal. It's a mind fuck. That's really what it is. And it's definitely doable. It's all in your head. I think just keep pulling on the fucking rower. If I really want to see someone try it. I really want to see someone push themselves. I only did it because the 10Ks, I felt like, you know, they're difficult, right? And then when I tried to push myself for the 15, like I fucking was hurting for the 15. I did it late at night. I was really tired. You can see, like, the 15, it took me, like, an hour and 15 minutes, and I did, you know, a 20K in 15 more minutes, like, 5Ks in 15 minutes, like, I was obviously something was off that previous row, and I think it was just, damn, getting on, just, and the fight's over. So, it's a challenge I want to see from people. If you got access to a rower, what's the longest have you been on the rower, you know? So that's, I'm going to leave you with that little challenge. Let me introduce, our special guest for this episode, Miss Andrea Lowell on, Instagram. She is Super Fit by Andrea. Twitter, Super Fit by Andrea, and here's the episode, guys. Hey, what's up, Andrea? Welcome back to the Fat Boy Podcast. How you doing?
I am fantastic. It is so good to hear your voice. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans, and I love being a part of this show. I'm so honored that you invited me back, and super happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, what do you mean super honored to have you back? I would love to have you back. I want to have you back every week. I just,
you know,
we all have lives, and it's so hard to connect. You know, on our last podcast, I said, oh, let it not be 2 months till the next time we have a podcast. And here goes. It's three. Tomorrow would be 3 months.
Oh, hell no. Really?
Yes. Tomorrow will be the last one we did was back in July, July 28th, I believe it was.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. But you know what? So much has gone on, not only personally, you know, for you especially, but, you know, the world, the weather. I mean, there's been so much shit going on. So we have to live life on life's terms. But I'm actually a little shocked that it's been that long. But the good news is we're back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the baby was just born back then.
Yep.
Like, she's a little chunky monster now.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's a little chunkster.
I love chubby babies.
They're
so fun to snuggle.
she already runs the house, let me tell you.
Are you serious?
Oh, she runs this
oh,
house.
Oh, you don't mean like runs the house like an athlete would. You mean she's like owning the house.
Yeah,
like.
She owns this house. Whatever she does goes. Whatever she says goes.
So cute. And how's that transition been going for you guys?
Well, for me, it's been going great. My wife has been missing a lot of sleep.
Well, yeah, that's standard. That's expected.
I feel so bad because I want to help her. I legit just don't hear it at night. Once I'm out, I don't hear.
You know, I was listening to some Deepak Chopra, and he was talking exactly about this. And you should not feel guilt because mothers are specifically tuned in to hear that. Whereas fathers, their genetic disposition isn't for that, you know, nurturing, mothering connection like that. So it's just part of your nature, man. So nothing you should feel guilty about. Like, if you're not hearing it, you're not hearing it, you know?
Oh, but I might hear a glass break. I might wake up for that.
You're tuned into that.
Yeah.
You'll hear a glass break.
See, I'm going to have to have my wife listen to this, just this part, and say, look, see, Andrew says, Deepak says, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of it. If someone were to break into the house, you would probably be the first to hear that because you are, you know, geared to be a warrior, protector. No one's touching my woman and my baby. You know what I mean? So we're just all kind of tuned into different frequencies, and she's on the frequency of mothering and nurturing. So that's what's at.
That's big. So yeah. I kind of hinted the other day when I was talking to you on Instagram about some big news I had to tell you. And
And I'm dying to find out what it is. Dying.
Andrea, do you know
that
I've lost 100 pounds total?
What?
Yes.
100?
100.
That's like an entire person.
That is just like an Italian person. Yes. A very small person.
That's fucking
crazy. Yes, I know.
No, I mean, that's nuts. So what is, give me the stats. What's the size difference? What's the weight difference? What's the everything difference? Break it down.
I used to wear a 3X shirt, but now looking back on how those 3Xs were fitting me, I probably should have been wearing a 4X shirt.
You were going for that tight look.
Oh,
that body
those, no, they were always tight. Yeah, they were always tight. T-shirt, if it was tight, if it pulled down, it was good.
Gotcha.
And I was a 50-inch waist.
50?
Yeah, 50. I was rocking 50s, and depending on some pants, I was like, oh, these assholes are running small. No, no, no. It was just my fat ass was running that big.
Yeah. So 100 pounds.
So 100 pounds.
So what size are you down to now? 50 to what?
So
you went from a 50, now you're at a what with the pants?
Sorry, a 42.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Now,
and I think I can squeeze into 40s, but I'm not going to push it.
We're not going for that moose knuckle look? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying not. Yeah, I'm not trying to do that.
That's incredible. Now, how long has this taken you? Because, you know, when people come see me, when I have new personal training clients and they have a big goal, I have 100 pounds to lose, I have this or that to lose, their first question is, how long is this going to take me? And, you know, I have some scientific reasons and answers for them, but I like giving real examples of people who not only did the work, made the dietary changes, and stayed committed to their goals. So how long did this 100-pound loss take you?
So the total 100-pound is – and do you hear me good? Because I think something happened on my end. Okay. I wonder what happened. Okay. Never mind. So I started beginning of the year, obviously, like everybody, I'm going to start losing weight. And I didn't really change anything until I started I want to say it was February, March, I started really tracking. And I was somewhere in the 360s until June when I was, before I started, right when I started keto, I said, you know what, I'm going to write this down. I started keto June 28th at, or like June 28th or 27th, it was somewhere around there, at 331. And now I'm down to 285 since June 20th. And that was mainly
it's no time at all.
Yeah, I know.
Like that's crazy. And I think that's wonderful. I applaud you. I am like all on your team and your side. There are some people who will say, oh, that's too fast. That's not healthy. And it's like, what's healthier, motherfucker? Me staying at 360 or me losing weight in a healthy way that supports my goals for not only my fitness and your goals as an athlete, but for your longevity? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say to people? Because I'm sure you've had it too. Oh, that's too fast. Or I'm worried about how quickly you're losing weight. Are you getting that at all?
See,
and if so, what's your response?
It all depends, because there's some people that I know I can be kind of tough with. And there's some people that I know I can't be tough with.
Like your mom or?
Yeah. And see, even someone that close, I try not to. I mean, I said some fucked up shit to my cousin not too long ago about him gaining weight.
I tell them, rude to our cousins. You know what I mean? Because we love them.
That's true.
Are like best friends. So you can be tough on them. It's like, you know what, homie? You need to lose some motherfucking weight. You know, like that's how we talk to our cousin.
Yeah, I told him, hey, brother, you can't be the fat one in the group anymore.
I love it.
Because I've always been the fat one in the group. So it's just like... You know, but totally. I tell him, look, it's not easy. It's not. And unless you fucking change, it's not going to happen. Like you obviously and like everybody that I talk to about their weight loss or whatever, I've kind of know their background. So I'm like, look, this is not working for you. This is not working for you. But you don't want to try this. But why won't you try this if you already know what this path leads?
Some people are happy being miserable. They're so content and used to it. I've had clients that come see me and they actually don't really truly want to lose the weight based out of fear. Now, for women, it's a little bit different because I'm thinking about a couple like female clients. And it's like, you know, women in their 20s that are like, you know, morbidly obese. They come to me because they want to lose weight. But then when they're not losing the weight and I sit them down and I find out they're eating actually worse than they've ever eaten before, and they're doing this, that, or the other. I'm like, what are you afraid of? Why are you wasting your time and money working out when you're sabotaging your health and your goals, you know, at home with your food? And when I sit down and I get them to a place of trust and love with me, I find out they're afraid of sagging skin. They're afraid of this, that, or the other. And a lot of people have been overweight their whole life, and they're honestly afraid of what changes could happen in their life once they get thinner. That's crazy. People that are afraid of true freedom and growth. So I get it. It's crazy. Some people who just won't change, but it's like they want it so bad, but there's this thing deep down in their soul or in their subconscious that they're unwilling to recognize. So sometimes with certain friends and clients, you have to dig really deep and get to the real root of the issue, which is sometimes hard because people don't even know themselves what the real root of the issue is. So, oh man, it can be really challenging, especially when people have been overweight for so long and they're just, you know, it's either they're afraid of the skin or they're afraid of what it's going to be like to actually be at their goal. They just can't even fathom a life, you know, in a healthy weight range. So
It's funny you bring this up because this is exactly what I posted about yesterday. It's that mentality about the cheat meal.
That was my phone. Yes!
My cheat meal.
I got to look that back up. I loved that post. I completely agree with you. Let's pull it up and read it to everyone, shall we?
I hope it sounded right. I mean, sometimes when I'm writing these, it sounds so much better in my head. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go back and edit this.
Yeah, no, sometimes I think I've said this to some friends of mine in person. The best posts are the ones written in passion and in haste. because it's true. It's out of the heart. And it's like something we're just feisty about. Of course, I have tons of typos in them. And I'm like, oh, shit, that didn't make sense. And I got to go in and edit some stuff. But I'd rather get it out in a rampage and edit it later than like overthink it and overwork it. And then it's just some generic.
Well, that's the thing. You lose the moment. You lose the moment. You have the moment. You have that rant that you just, you know, fuck this. This is what you like. Stop bothering me with your bullshit. This is what you have to do. And it's kind of
okay,
like.
I'm gonna read this. Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so Fat Boy Jiu-Jitsu. What's my secret? No cheat days. Tomorrow will mark 5 weeks since my last cheat meal. And before that, it was 3 months. Yes, I had a moment of weakness for some bomb-ass sushi with the rice, of course. But I didn't dwell. The cheat meal philosophy is setting you up to fail because you're putting your cheat meal on a pedestal. Focus on change and then you'll see results. Why is cheating acceptable when it comes to eating? If I can do this, so can you. I'm not special. And it's so, so, so true. I don't ever preach a cheat meal philosophy myself. I allow people slip ups, you know, but we're not planning our life around a cheat meal because like you said, it's glorifying it. It's putting it up on a pedestal and it's not a sustainable lifestyle emotionally and mentally and even for our health because what happens is there's deprivation, deprivation, deprivation. And then it's engorgement, engorgement, engorgement. And it's like the most unhealthy, disgusting foods on earth because they think it's earned. It's like, listen, homie, food isn't motherfucking earned. Food is a necessity. Human beings are designed to eat for energy and nourishment. Since when is food earned? It's part of our, you know, natural lifestyle and routine. So it's also thinking kind of like, why is something unhealthy? Why is something that ultimately is going to give me cardiovascular disease, potentially diabetes, or a myriad of other health negative effects? Why is that glorified? Why are we glorifying foods that are detrimental to our health? Why aren't we glorifying like a fucking watermelon or a pineapple? You know what I mean? Like, why are we glorifying like double bacon dipped in cheese? Like, what? Huh? So it's just it's a really sick mentality. And I just feel like it's not sustainable because what I've had is, and myself too, formerly, as well as clients, a cheat meal turns into a cheat day, turns into a cheat week, and turns into just completely off of our rocker. Yeah. And then it's so hard to get back on to a lifestyle of wellness when you've derailed so, so, so miserably. And I think the cheat meal philosophy really sets us up for that kind of devastating derailment. What do you think about that?
I do. And, you know, and I kind of got some people posting back to me. Oh, well, I don't think that's fair. You know, I've done it with cheat meals and that's great for you. I go that you've had the discipline, but most people don't. And like you said, it just leads you. That's the thing. It leads you. Oh, it's just this right now.
It's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, I understand it. And I know that it has worked for people. But as a professional, like, you know, a raw food nutritionist and dealing with all different types of like people's eating patterns, hangups, issues, whatever, that is not good for people with compulsive eating problems. With food addictions, cravings. It's like, why are we going to put ourselves in a situation where we're knowingly triggering a food obsession or a compulsive eating spell or a binge fest? So, of course, it's going to work for some people that don't have eating issues. But at the same point, it's working for their weight loss, let's say. But how is it working for their long-term health? How is eating that shit once a week, every week for the rest of your life good for you? Also, do I want to be 90 years old, you know, eating super, super clean and having like a crazy cheat meal? It's like, no, I just want to find a sustainable lifestyle that works for me and my goals. And my goals happen to be health and longevity. So for me, a cheat meal doesn't factor in. It just doesn't. Yeah, I'll give myself, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Some leeway. You know, if I'm going to a wedding or I'm going to a social gathering, yeah, I'll eat whatever is there, but I'm not thinking this is a cheat meal. I'm just thinking I'm going with the fucking flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
like,
you can't,
there's some
where, you know, like you said, at a wedding, you can't just, Actually, I went to a wedding and not too long ago, and there was like rice and potatoes. I'm like, oh, there ain't shit eating that. So I just grabbed meat, and then I was like, all right, that's good. I'm good. Uh-huh. You know, I had to make the best of it. It is what it is. Like, I cannot force everybody that I know to change because I am, but I should be able to be strong enough to just do what I need to do.
And I think it does start with a lot of strength and a lot of willpower. And it starts with a lot of motivation and sometimes a lot of pain. Like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I want to go forward. But then it's results driven. You know, it starts with that motivation and that willpower. And then it's like, oh my God, I look amazing. I feel amazing. My mobility's better. I'm strong as a motherfucker. Like, how is it I'm getting smaller and I'm stronger? And, you know, that mental clarity, that cognitive function that increases, the deepening of sleep, just the overall vitality that we experience when we really switch over to a health-minded lifestyle, that's where it comes from then. That's where it's like, oh, I don't want to stop this. So you're right now 100 pounds down. Don't you just want to keep going further? Like, don't you feel that, like, momentum of that, of the results-driven motivation?
It's funny because I feel like I'm getting addicted to getting smaller, right? But yes. in the same token, getting smaller is fucking with me mentally. And I'll tell you, for some reason, like, before, and it's the weirdest thing, when I would walk in a room before and I would have, I just felt big. Like, I felt big, bigger than life. Just always felt like the biggest guy in the room, right? And now I'm deflated. Like, I feel small, and it just, it's totally a macho thing about feeling big and feeling powering. That's all it is. But it's totally, it's really fucking with me. I don't know why. And it shouldn't.
No, but it shouldn't. But the fact is, that's who you have been for so long. That's what you identify with. That's how you see yourself, as the biggest guy in the room, you know, probably like the biggest stud in the room. Like, I can beat all these motherfuckers' asses. You know what I mean? Like, you're the biggest, baddest guy in the room at all times. Of course, the nicest too. But it's like, so now you have to just think, who am I now? Now I'm an incredible athlete. Now I'm a, you know, beacon of hope and light for other people. Now I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. I'm a guide. I'm an inspiration. So now it's just like picking on to the new character traits that you identify with. And that's going to take some learning. You're going to have to find out what's underneath that, you know, bigness you once had, and really get to the truth of who you are. And I think you're in the middle of finding that out. And that transition is where the uncomfortability is. So I'm excited to find out how you identify in the next couple of years. Like, when you walk into a room, what do you feel like? You know what I mean? I think that's going to be exciting to find out.
It definitely will be. It definitely will be.
But I think, too, that taps into some of that fear that I mentioned some of my clients have. They're like, I don't even know what it's going to be like being small. And I'm kind of scared of that. Like, even though I'm unhappy being overweight, I'm comfortable being overweight because I've been overweight for so long. I don't even know how to approach life not overweight. So I think that actually kind of taps into that issue that also you're kind of experiencing. Obviously, yours isn't fear-based. Yours is just like, whoa, this is weird. But a lot of people deal with that fear of, who am I if I'm not the fat girl or the fat guy? Who am I?
Well,
and
I mean,
like, why don't you fucking find out?
It's true because in a way, because, you know, in most of my social circles, I'm the fat friend, you know? So it is kind of like, man, that's going to be weird. But it's only weird because of how long I've been unhealthy, you know? Exactly. Not that I want to stay that, because I don't. You know.
No, yeah, I'm not concerned about you at all in that regard, but maybe some people listening might be kind of falling into that category, but no, I'm not worried about you. But let's think of this too. If you want to just break it down and get a little psychological on it,
Please do.
You are or have been the fat friend. You're the big friend. You're the biggest guy in the room. But what else are you? Are you the most loyal friend? Are you the most compassionate friend? Are you the one your friends can call when they have a problem? You know what I mean?
Oh, fuck those assholes.
Every single person is multifaceted. You know, people will look at me and they'll be like, oh, Andrea, she's my blonde friend. She's like super hot. Like, that's that's my physical appearance. That has nothing to do with who I am. Take away, you know, the big blonde hair when I go out and the big eyelashes and whatever the fuck else I put on when I go out. There's a lot more to me. So if I took all of that off, I'd still be me. You know, my friends just couldn't refer to me as like the blonde one. So there's so many other ways that we
that's
can.
That's so true. And I guess I've always been just, you know, that's always been the shining star, you know, before anything else, the fat friend versus, you know, something else.
Because that's easy. Because you know what, humans, we're lazy when it comes. It's like it's how we like make everyone's name a nickname. You know what I mean? I can't say, you know, my girlfriend Amber. I got to call her Burr because two syllables is just too much for me. And even if someone's syllable or name is one syllable, I break it down to a letter. Just because it's like we always just try to make everything easier. So instead of being like, oh, my friend Juan, who's the most caring, loving, charismatic, smart guy that I know, it's like, oh, he's the fat one. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So now we gotta just find out what your other most dominant personality and character traits are, and that'll be the new you.
The sexy one.
Yes. Yeah. No, can't just, fill in just, my shoes, boo. I'm the sexy one. No, we can both be the sexy one. And isn't that great too? There's so much room in the sexy sphere to go around. Speaking of sexy sphere, how are you feeling about like your personal mojo since losing all this weight? I think that's what people really want to know.
So, okay, this is another thing. I now look how good I thought I looked.
Yes,
think about my confidence. I now look how good I thought I looked. 100 pounds me, you know, it's so crazy. And now I'm looking, I'm like, man, I look good, but I think I look better. I could do better.
You know, and it's going to keep getting better and keep getting better. And I understand that because as a confident person, it doesn't matter how much you weigh. If you really, really are feeling yourself, you're like, damn, I'm sexy, you know? And then when you actually get super sexy, you're like, because this happened to me. And not to sound like egotistical, but like, I thought I was banging. You're like, and then when I actually got banging, I was like, fuck, I was.
Yeah, I see why. You see those dragon flying scissor shits that you were doing the other day?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm good. I'll pass.
What do you mean? You can't do the Bruce Lee dragon flag scissor kick scorpion abs?
Nah, I'll pass. I'll tag you in.
Okay, well, I'll take that tag. No, it all comes down to core strength. And also, I don't weigh that much. You know what I mean? And I'll tell people another secret. If they want to check out and see what we are talking about, I'm going to go on my Instagram real quick. It was a post I did on October 16th, 2017. So just check out that one. One of the secrets to doing dragon flag, aka scorpion abs, a la Bruce Lee, is you have to have incredible lat strength because you're holding on to the bench for dear life.
Oh.
So if you don't have killer lat strength, like if you're not doing pull-ups and stuff and whatever else, then you're probably not able to hold yourself. So even though your abs and your core are keeping your form and allowing the movement to be fluid and beautiful and not jerky and just properly done, properly executed, if you don't have good upper body strength to hold you up, you're going to fail. So it's not just an ab exercise. It really takes a lot of upper body strength. And so don't – what I guess the point is if you are trying this and you fail, one of the reasons could be your upper body. So go ahead and if anyone has any questions, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram. I actually check that way more often than Facebook. send me a DM or just shoot a comment on one of them, and I'll do my best to guide – and help, but also just ask a trainer at your gym.
You know, I've been trying to incorporate those, and not necessarily those, but just pull-up hangs, just pull-up hanging from the pull-up bar. Because yeah. I've never been able, even when I was a kid, I've never been able to pull myself up on a pull-up bar, and it's either the grip strength or the lat strength, and I can't say it is 100% grip strength because when it comes to jiu-jitsu, my grip strength is really decent. It's not the best, but it's pretty decent. And I should be able to hold myself up now, especially losing 100 pounds, but I still can't. So I try to do hangs for as long as I go and, you know, rest a little bit and do it again and do it again and continue.
So are you saying that the issue is the inability to free hang from a pull-up bar in order to do the hanging leg raises? Like it's the holding on to your body weight on the handles?
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard for everyone. It really is hard for everyone.
But the only way to do it is to keep on doing it. Like,
absolutely.
Right? I mean,
the only way that you'll get good at something is to keep doing it. And grip strength is, you know, a lot of people, it comes naturally. They're born with it. I'm one of these people that I'm born with it. But I'm able to make it greater and greater and greater by maintaining moves like that. But for me, when I do leg raises, I actually find that I get too distracted by the burning going on in my hands and my arms. So I'd prefer to just do them kind of in a captain's chair where I'm doing it from, you know, holding my body up through my forearms. But at the same point, it is a much better exercise when you do them super hanging. It really is, but I find them annoying. So I tend not to do things that I find annoying, but that's probably a sign that I need to do more of them. But at the same point, I'm still doing pull-ups every time I go to the gym and this, that, or the other. So how are your pull-ups?
I told you I can't do the pull-ups. I can barely hang.
Remember. Well,
they're working. Hmm?
Have we discussed how to get to do pull-ups?
No, we haven't.
Oh, we haven't, have we?
No.
Who wants to hear how to do pull-ups?
let's go. Okay. What do I got to do?
So many people want to do pull-ups, and the first question is, how do I get good at pull-ups? I'm like, well, you got to fucking do exercises that completely emulate what a pull-up is. But if you're not able to do a pull-up, we got to get off the pull-up handles and do some things on the lat pull-down bar. You can always use a pull-up rubber band, you know, one of those big, huge, giant rubber bands, mm-hmm. and kind of string it through and put your knee in it and do it that way. I'm not the biggest fan of the assisted pull-up machine. I'm just not. I think we should just always be free hanging. I don't think we should have our feet on anything ever.
Do you think – what about doing them assisted with the resistance bands?
I don't see how that seems really – redundant. What do you mean? Assist? Oh, using doing the rubber band as an assistant.
Yes, instead of.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with the rubber bands. I'm totally okay because you're hanging wild and you're flowing around and you're like, oh shit, and you got to use your core to stabilize.
Yeah, whereas the machine, you're kind of
You're just up and down, and your feet are on a fucking pedestal, and you're whatever. Mm-hmm. So, what you want to do is you want to go to the lat pull down bar. You know, typically where the cables are, mm-hmm. and you want to do an underhand grip, and you want to grab close. So you're not grabbing wide. You're grabbing close, so your hands are about a foot apart, about 6 inches on either side of the anchor in the middle. Mm-hmm. You want to stand up, lean back a little bit, pull the bar quickly into your chest, and then slowly, like I'm talking slowly, release it up. And you want to do that super heavy for 10. And that's how I start my clients on pull-up training. Of course, we've built up to that doing other moves, two-arm rows, one-arm rows, lat pullovers on the bench, so many other things to get the lat and the back and the arms and the chest all rearing to go. And, of course, a myriad of core exercises because pull-ups are not just about the arms. The back, the abs are super important. So standing lat pull downs, again, that super quick into the chest, slow, slow, slow release up for 10 reps, super heavy, 3 sets is going to be a secret. And I tell people, once you get up to 30 pounds below your body weight, you can do a pull up. You can do one. Because if you could do 10 at 30 pounds less than your body weight, why couldn't you do one at your body weight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Wow. I didn't think about that.
Right? Well, this is why I think about this shit.
Man, but that's a lot. That's 250. Holy shit.
But you can do that. You can start working up to it now. How easy would it be for you to start with. I don't know what you're probably super strong. Start with 100 pounds.
I'm maybe like 50.
Dude, my grandma can do 50. No, you can do more. You'll be 50 for you is enough. That's 25 in an arm. Come on, homie. Come on.
Maybe I can do more.
Yeah, I think you could easily start at 100, and you might be like, okay, this is too light. Most people, I would say, start at 50, 60, 70, or 80, depending on your fitness level. I typically have my female clients start at around 60 or 70. I would have a guy probably start at like 80 or 90, just FYI. And then we just add 10 pounds, until we're up to 30 below their body weight, and then we hit the pull-up. And what I have them do is I have them jump into the pull-up so they get a little bit of a
assistance, a cheat.
Yeah, a little bit of assistance. So then they have the confidence. They're like, oh, my God, I just did a pull-up. And so then I put a plyo box under them and then – or a BOSU ball, and then they just do it, and there wasn't any assistance, and there wasn't any jumping or cheating. And then that's how you build the confidence, because a lot of pull-ups, failure is fear. So if I can get the strength there through the lat pull-down bar and then build your confidence by letting you jump into it and then actually having you execute a single, oh, my gosh, that's what it's about. And so then we go for a single. Then we go for two. Then we go for, you know, and that progresses each week too, so that you're finally doing, you know, by the end of a couple months or 3 months or so, you're doing 10 pull-ups.
You're beating Marines at sporting events.
Yes, you are. You could be a Marine. And you know, I was talking to my husband about this yesterday at the gym. He was saying he really feels that his pull-up training has increased his strength and proficiency at every other move that he's doing at the gym.
Really?
Every move. Absolutely. And I said, you know what? I believe it, because it really, when done right, it's the entire core. It's the back. It's all the arm. It's such a full body move. It's aside from the legs, that when done right, it really just engages everything and teaches your body to work synergistically, tells it all to synthesize. Like, we're going to work all together and contract in such a way that we're making it easier for every other body part, because we're pitching in. I don't know. I just find it so incredible. And you know all the core exercises I do, all the core training
I
do.
Yes, I know.
I feel that my core strength is why I can do pull-ups, 100%.
I mean, you can physically see your core strength.
But you know what I mean? Because when I first did a pull-up, I was like, how did I do that? Like, I don't work my upper body. Like, what the hell, you know? And I really think it's because I'm able to cheat with my core. And if you're like, what is this bitch talking about? Try it. Give it a go. See how using your abs and engaging your core can help you inch your way up a pull-up. It's incredible. So I just want to remind people, the move Juan just talked about, the hanging leg raises, whether you do them like him, you know, hanging and working on your grip strength. And I love hanging like that. It's so good for the shoulders and stuff. And doing your leg lifts that way, or doing them like I do on a captain's chair through your arms. That's going to really help your core, not only aesthetically, but when you do them properly, you're supposed to curl your butt like up. Does that make sense? So like you're reaching for the top with your toes.
So you're trying to like almost do a toe bar kind of?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, shit. You know, there's a video of me doing a horrible, horrible, horrible toe bar that...
Oh, where's that? I'd love to see that.
I'm going to have to... It's one of my friends snuck it when I was... Oh, totally clowning me. It was hilarious. And I actually can't wait for the day so I can redo it with an actual toe bar, because that would be kind of cool. But I'll have to find that and send that to you. But yes... Toe bars and me right now, we're not on a first name basis.
That's so funny. But so, yeah, it's like you'll see a lot of people doing these ab moves at the gym because they really help to get a really nice looking set of abs. But moves like that also do help with the total core when you do them perfectly, not just raising the legs up to your hips, but when you get the feet all the way up and you're curling your back up a little bit, you're really getting so much more than just the front of your abs. You're actually getting total core, and moves like that are going to help. Also, if you take your moves down to the bench and you're doing some similar moves on a bench, it's going to work your core again, aiding in those pull-ups. And the trick with core work is don't do the same move over and over and over. You need to train your abs, your core from all angles. That's front, back, side to side, innermost leg, and superficial too. You have to work it all if you want a solid rocking set of abs that's going to make every single move of yours better. I also feel like my core assists me in my squats. It's like,
that does.
We know
I,
this.
I think that's the only reason I have core strength is because
most
I squat.
People. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. And many power lifters, and I agree with them, will tell you, you know, you don't even have to work out the core as long as you squat heavy and you deadlift with good form and you do all this and that or the other because your core will be super engaged. And I completely agree. I agree. But what I've noticed is because I do such killer core work, I'm able to, as someone who's not a power lifter, as someone who doesn't compete, as someone who doesn't really give a flying fuck about aesthetics too much, the more so what I'm saying is I squat infrequently, but when I hit it, I'm blown away by what I can do. And I can feel my core when I'm at the bottom and I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't know if I can go. I just bear down on my abs and I pop right up. It's crazy. And I just know that they're helping me. So what the powerlifting coaches are saying are true and what I'm saying are true. So imagine if someone did want to be a power lifter or someone who just wants to bulk up and look hot. Having a great core is going to help you with all of your moves. Because what if I did squat on a regular basis? Could you imagine how much greater my core would be and how my core would also be aiding in that?
Oh my
God. Just don't want to because I'm not trying to get thunder thighs. That's why I don't do it very often. Cause
you don't want to, you don't want to spark fires when you run.
No, that, yeah, I, you know, I had the thigh gap before the thigh gap was cool and I don't have it cause I'm, you know, anorexic or whatever. I have it because I'm bow legged.
She said I'm bow legged.
I am.
You're not bow legged.
Oh no, I am. I'll take a picture. I cannot get my knees to touch. If you paid me, it actually hurts. My grandpa, his nickname was Bo, and his name was Dale. There was no reason to call him Bo, except for he had bow legs. And my dad got him, and me and one of my sisters got him. They're not crazy. It's not like I'm a cowboy and I just got off a horse, but I cannot touch my knees. And so people are always like, oh my God, I want a thigh gap like you have. And I said, you can't have a thigh gap like I have because mine is the way that my legs are designed. You know?
You'll never have them. You'll never have them. One of a kind.
Yeah, you know, so I think that's just, it's funny when people are like, oh, I want yours. I go, you can't have mine, but you can have the best yours. Let's work on you getting yours. So, oh, this was great. I love talking ways to help people get to their goals. And pull-ups are such an incredible goal that people love to work toward. And I know you want.
Well, those are major milestones. That's a major milestone. I think a pull-up is
huge.
A pull-up
is huge. And not only is it a milestone, it's such validation to how far we've come with our fucking fitness. It's like, wow, I am really fit. I can pull my body weight. And it's not just about performance and showing off and ego at the gym. Like, you know what? If I'm trapped in a ditch or a well, yeah. I can get out.
Yeah, you know, I think about that more and more now. If I'm like, man, so much shit going on. What if something happens and I got to pull myself and the kids out of something? I'm like, right now, I can't fucking do it. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, you'd get that adrenaline.
I probably would.
But I see your point. And it's just like, you know what? And if I wanted to do like a Spartan race or this or that, it's really like getting the most functional fitness. And people are always like, oh, functional fitness. And there's so much misuse of the term functional fitness. But really what it is what is the body's function? And am I doing fitness that aligns with the human body function? And yeah, humans were designed to push, pull, kick, jump, all these things. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to train my body in alignment with the way it was designed. So pull-ups are, like you said, they're a milestone, but they're a true indicator of really complete fitness because it takes so much more than just, you know, bicep strength to do a pull-up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to let everyone know If you need any specified help, let me know. Hit me up. Feel free on Instagram at SuperFitByAndrea. I'd love to help. Obviously, when me and Juan talk, we're sharing our own personal experiences, but also we're giving very general advice for just kind of, you know, just the general kind of fitness guidance. But if there's something specific that you need, hit us up. Like,
hit us. No more. Hit her up. She's more of an expert than I am. I'm not an expert. I love listening. No. See, I can't. That's the hard, like, that's, you know what? I think that's what scares me the most. When people come to me for advice on that, because I'm like, well, look, I'll tell you what worked for me. And they're, oh, well, that's not going to work for me. I'm like, it worked for me. And I'm just going to look at you and say, it worked for me.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know so many people in the health and fitness industry now that if you don't know the answer, you are a guide to point someone to the person who does know. So let's say, for example, someone's like, oh, Juan, you know, I watched Earthlings and I want to be vegan all of a sudden. Do you know anyone? You wouldn't say, oh, yeah, let me tell you. You'd say, oh, you might want to talk to my friend Andrea, or you might want to talk to this person or that person. That's kind of what I do, too. You know, I have people that are not in alignment with my exact lifestyle, and I never say I can't help you. I point them to someone who can.
That's amazing. I eat meat.
We're homies.
I cook my food. I eat meat.
Yes.
And we're some of the best buddies. We're the two peas in a pod.
It's true, because we love our lifestyles. We don't push our lifestyles on others. What we do is we shine a light on our lifestyles. So if people are attracted to it, we're here to help. But we're not going to say, I'm not going to be your friend if you don't identify with me. Because one, that's immature as all hell. And two, that's ego. I don't do my lifestyle because of ego. I do it because I want to feel good. It's like it has nothing to do with my damn ego. So that's the beauty of this. It's, you have an appreciation for all different types of ideas and concepts. And I think not only is that great for you blossoming into this incredible, you know, BJJ athlete, but also
the dad
you're being. Like, what a great example to your kids.
It's funny that you bring this up, because last year when my son started Cub Scouts, right? And I got roped in and helping and stuff like that. And I don't mind. I was a Cub Scout, so it doesn't bother me. I actually like it. I spend time go camping with him. But one of the things was, you know, the core values is like, keep yourself physically fit. And we would say that. And, you know, my son always kind of looked at me funny. And now that, you know, man, some of these parents hadn't seen me in 3-4 months. And they come back and they're like, holy shit, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
And it's it feels good that it's like that I'm actually doing this, and I'm basically telling him every time I tell him, if you want to do something, you put your mind to it, you can do it. That he knows that's, you know, shit, look at what my father did, you know?
Yeah. And as he gets older and realizes how hard it is to lose that much weight in that shorter time, you know how much he's going to respect you? It's like, now he already respects you because you're his dad and he loves you and he's so proud of you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We know what it's like to be that age and to just respect the hell out of our dad and whatever else. But I know as I've gotten older and I've seen the stuff my parents went through that I respected then, but I didn't really understand then. And now as an adult, I'm like, oh my God, you guys are warriors. Like, it's mind blowing. And it's such a beautiful thing to have that level of respect for your parents. All built off esteemed acts, you know. It's not like, oh, my mom won the lottery. You know, I'm proud.
<It's> like, I'm proud that she bought that ticket.
Yeah, it's like they did the damn work. They didn't stop. They did everything they could to ensure I had a healthy parent, had a parent that was going to be there for them. You know, it's like, of course we do what we do for us, but you do this for your kids.
Man,
it's like,
so, yeah, you're right. More so than anything, I want to be able to see him have his kids, you know?
Yes. And could, you know, if let's say you were 360 and then next year or 2 years later, you were 460, you were 560. The next thing we know, you have a reality show. Juan can't get out of bed, you know?
Yeah, man. Let me tell you about them reality shows, man. It's bad. What? It's, you can't. Wow. They're bad.
I don't even. We need to do a whole other podcast on reality shows. Because do you even know I've been on several?
I do know.
You do? Okay.
I personally know that. Surreal Life.
Yes. So it all. I mean, we don't have to get into this now, but
for episode 4 with Andrea.
And it's so funny because you always have to remind me what we have talked about, what we're going to talk about. Because I'm like, did we talk about this before? it's the emotional turmoil and the psychological torment. And you're like, what? That goes on during reality shows is no joke. And you're like, to someone who's never been on one, you just can't empathize with it and you can't get it. But it's so funny because every time I do one, and I say several, but I haven't done like that many, but every time I do one, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Fuck that. That was horrible.
But you know, I wanted to.
Everyone wants to.
I wanted, you know, back in the day, you know, road rules. But, you know, even a couple of years ago, I thought, man, let me try to get on The Biggest Loser. Let me beat that, you know. I can work hard. I can lose some weight on that show.
Yeah, and, but I feel like you wanted to do it because you actually had some serious goals and you wanted to do it for you. You know, most people that do reality shows, they're just kind of in it to be on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and that's true. It really was because I wanted to lose weight, but I didn't know. You know, I just felt, man, this is the only way that's going to happen. This is the only way that's going to happen, type of thing.
No, my sister told me the same thing. She said, the only way I'm going to lose this weight is if I do something extreme, like go on a reality show. And this is the bullshit of reality shows. They make you think you have to do something so extreme as to go on a reality show with some evil-ass trainer barking down your throat and you eating like fucking 800 calories a day and working out 9 hours a day. Like, that's not true. But the television programming, you know, it's called programming mm-hmm. for a reason – teaches us that we can only do it under these extreme circumstances. Well, look at you, down 100 pounds. You weren't on a reality show. You weren't on a starvation diet. You're eating some of your favorite foods.
Man, sometimes I don't eat. You know,
because you're not starving.
Not fucking never starving. Sometimes I feel like I eat too much.
Because you're nourished. Because you're eating for your goal.
Oh my god. Do you even know? I don't mean to cut you off, but here's the even biggest thing. Like, not only have I lost 100 pounds and I've, you know, changed my life that way, but because I've gone and changed completely my diet, and I don't know if it's got to be the combination of the two, but I've naturally raised my testosterone to the point where I kind of don't need testosterone.
Yes. 100%. People have so many different goals, and what we don't realize is once we get into a really great state of fitness, and you can still have a couple extra pounds on, you can still be on your way to your goal, you get this virility back. You get that T level back up. You start feeling your prowess coming back. You know what I'm saying? You get that mojo flowing, and it's one of the best, greatest side effects, and even women experience this too. Women feel, I was going to say it, hornier and happier when they are pumping some iron and eating well. If you are suffering a low in libido, check your goddamn diet first and foremost. Because I have had clients who we get them off of the soda, we get them off of the processed crap, the food colorings, the chemicals, the shelf stabilizers, the preservatives, all that shit. We put them on real food, you know, food that comes out of nature. And they're like, oh, my God, like I got a boner for the first time in the year. Like, you know, oh, I'm lubricated again. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, we're supposed to be horny. Like, it's, you know what
for,
I mean?
For the record, I've never had that problem, okay? Just, you know, I promise, never had that problem. It's always been. I know, but I'm just letting you know, just so my listeners know, you brought that up. I want my listeners to know that, you know, I've always been able to get rock hard on demand.
Attaboy. Get him, Tiger. But now, aren't you feeling more like grr, baby, grr, because your tea is back?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But here's the thing. I had it. I was on TRT. I was, and then I kind of stopped when the baby came, and I said, well, let me check it now. Now I don't even need it. Yep.
Yeah. Now it's you. See, we're not supposed to be on synthetic hormones. We're not. Anytime the body is out of balance and where we need hormone therapy or we need, you know, pharmaceuticals or we need this, that, or the other, it's because our body's out of balance. We have to figure out, how do I put my body back into balance? I'll tell you, first and foremost, the answer is diet. And then the second key is exercise. Then we need sunlight. Then we need sleep. Then we need quality water. And that's not in any necessary order except for maybe diet. but it's we have to get those.
We got to stop treating the symptoms. Because treating the symptoms is what's putting us in, you know, and my doctor, too, I had seen her not so long ago. And I that's when I found out about testosterone. But I told her, listen, I haven't been taking my blood pressure medicine. And she goes, you're all right? And I'm like, yeah, I just don't need it. I go, I'm not taking it because I don't need it. And she goes, are you sure you don't want to just do half? And I'm like, I told her I'll do half, but I'm not because I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need it. I feel like I'm great. I check my blood pressure every day, too. So I'm not, you know.
You're no fool. And here's the thing. Juan's not suggesting, and I'm not suggesting, that anyone, you know, eats a fucking piece of lettuce tomorrow and gets off their blood pressure medication.
Yes. I'm not a doctor.
Juan checks his. He's diligent. He knows what's up. He's actually going to his doctor, checking this or that. So there's a smart way to do things, and there's a real not smart way to do things. And what you've done is your body was out of balance. You started eating healthy foods, and you brought your body back to its natural balance while maintaining your fitness. It's like, how logical is that? So instead of, oh, I'm out of balance, I'm going to get on more pills, I'm going to get on this, I'm going to go on some crazy diet, I'm going to go to Nutra, whatever it's called, or Lindor, and this, that, or the other, and get more out of balance, you know, you might lose weight, but your body's out of balance. Then we're just masking the problem. Like you said, it's that Band-Aid, and it's going to pop right back, and if not, get worse later. Mm-hmm. So we're just finding that balance is the secret to life. You know, you'll hear people say, like, oh, mind, body, spirit, this, that, or the other. It's true. It's true. Everything in life is about balance. And using your own inner guidance system and your health and your body and the way you're feeling as your guide is going to be the best way to determine if your body's in balance or not. Now, what happens is, though, if we are eating a super toxic standard American diet where, again, we have all those chemicals and crap in our bodies, we become so jammed up with toxins that we can't even feel our guidance system because we're always symptomatic. So it's a real hard thing to do if you're so far, you know, you've slipped so far down the scale that you can't even feel your symptoms because everything's a symptom and you're just used to it. So just know, symptoms are your body's way of saying you're out of balance. And if you need help getting back in balance, reach out to me, please. I am a certified raw food nutritionist. I've taken several clients, innumerable clients, you know, off of medications and to pure balance, you know, massive weight loss, massive vitality, getting off of prescriptions and giving you freedom. So reach out to me if you need me. Know that I'm here for you. Because that's what I'm here to do. I feel like my purpose on earth is to help people get back to balance, get back to that. Damn, this is freedom. You know, people are like, oh, I'm an American, I'm free. Nah, you're a slave to, you're a slave to your debt. You're a slave to your TV shows you want to watch. You're a slave to, the system, to pharmaceuticals, to this, that, or the other. Once you're free, where you're like, damn, I am free. I don't have to take 20 pills when I wake up. I don't have to go to 10 appointments every month. That's freedom. Imagine not having to look for a damn parking space and wait in the waiting room and read those dumbass hunting magazines. You know, that's freedom. Not go to the pharmacy and pick up your prescription. It's like, how much time are we wasting in our lives being, you know, system slaves? Straight up.
Much of our time, and it's
so much.
It you know, I've recently too with losing all this, and I'm like, man, I just want to spread this. I want to help people too.
You are, baby.
I really think, because here's the thing, I know how it's felt to be, you know, really fucking obese and hating myself and thinking, shit, this is just my life. My life is shit, and it's always gonna be shit. I'm never gonna lose weight, and this is it. And you know, it's so fucking, it's crazy because you're brainwashed to think that the standard American diet is what how you have to live, and that if you do anything else, you're fucking wrong.
Yeah, and you know what happens too when you do deviate from it, you're called crazy. What's the matter with you? Why aren't you eating this, you know, hot dog made with pig anus and goat vagina? You know, it's like I'm crazy because I'm not eating some nasty ass shit. You know what I mean?
Well, and here's the crazier thing:
am I crazy for being healthy?
To friends who are even on the same on an equal fitness path, you're crazy because you're not taking the cheat meal. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So it's like
when we go against popular culture, we're crazy. But you know what? All the best. You look back at history. Who are the people we revere? The people who were called crazy and the nonconformists. It's like when they're alive, we call them crazy, and then when they're dead, they celebrate them. Like just to make like a really bold example. Let's look at Rosa Parks, for example. She stood up, right? Mm-hmm. She refused to get up on the bus. She broke the law. At the time, you know, it was a big deal and it caused all this discord. But now it's like we celebrate her. So it's like the same thing. We're called crazy. And I know that's like a grand example, but you have to sometimes do a big example to drive home the point. Mm-hmm. And the point is, you're calling us crazy now. But in 20 years, when we're thriving, you're like, damn, those people, those crazy asses that were going against the grain, they had it right all along.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like we can see the truth. We can see past the veil of illusion. And we know that it's not what they're telling us to eat. It's not glorifying a cheat meal. It's not, you know, being so neurotic that I'm counting and tracking every goddamn calorie. It's like that's not a lifestyle I'm trying to live. Again, I want to bring my body to natural balance and I want freedom. Freedom for me is not going onto an app on my phone every hour and checking in. Oh, I just had 8 more ounces of water. Like, hell no. Who cares? I know that my body is symptom free. So I know it's in balance. I know I haven't been sick in over a decade. That's in damn That's good balance.
Amazing.
You know, I don't take any pharmaceutical. That's really in good balance. And when I have any sort of ache or pain, I think, okay, what's this from? What's the root of this? How can I heal this myself? Boom, bada bing, it's done. Like, that to me is freedom. And that's what me and Juan really want for you. You know, I've been here for a while. I've been a raw foodist for about 9 years, and I've been a personal trainer for, you know, an equally long time. And Juan's in the middle of his journey right now. So you're kind of getting it from both perspectives and both areas of experience. And we have two totally different stories, but we're telling you the same thing, right?
I hope so. I hope,
we are. It's like,
yeah, we are.
And we have different diets and we have different fitness plans, but it's about finding what works for us, what works for our goal, not listening to the bullshit of mainstream media, clever marketing, what everyone else is doing, popular culture. You know, what TV shows tell us to do. We're listening to our intuition and we're playing around. You know, it's like, how many times did you use yourself as a guinea pig trying different variations of different diet techniques before you found what worked for you? And that it's like,
countless.
That's what it's about. It's like, but we did the work on us because everyone is different and we have to do what we enjoy. It's like, you know, I have friends that are very happy and they're long distance runners. They look great. I hate running. So why would I become a long distance runner? You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't follow someone else's path just because they look good. You do what makes you happy. What makes me happy is lifting heavy weights and eating raw food. So that's why I do what I do. You know, like, that's it.
And you're good at it. And you're very good at it.
Thanks, Daddy.
Well, Andrea, I know you're running out of time, so let's tell everybody where they can get you, where they can reach you, how they can follow you.
Absolutely. As I always mention, I'm addicted to Instagram. I love it. Follow me there at Superfit by Andrea. You can also find me on Facebook by the same name, Superfit by Andrea. Also, my website, same name, Superfit by Andrea. And I'm trying to think, I'm on Twitter too, at the Andrea Lowell, but I kind of just simulpost from my Instagram onto Twitter. But you can give me a follow there if you like. And just know, I really enjoy helping people. So if you're struggling and you need help, please reach out. if there's any interest, maybe we struck a chord in a way and you're like, I don't know what this raw diet thing is, but maybe I'll give it a try. Go ahead and click the link in my bio on my Instagram and watch my program overview for my upgrade to raw program. If you're interested and you are a listener of the Fat Boy Jiu-Jitsu podcast, I will give a significant discount if you mention this show.
And so, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll copy those links and I'll make sure to put them in the show notes of the podcast too. Of course.
Right on. And if you have any comments, questions, or answers, you know, send them to me. Send them to Juan. And next time that we do a podcast together, we'll try to answer them on the show.
Oh, questions and answers. Yeah, that'd be great. Great idea, Andrea.
Well, thank you. So, if you have any specific questions for us or me, it doesn't matter. We'll do our best to answer those.
All right. Thank you, Andrea.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I love you so much. And I can't believe 100 pounds down, size 42.
Yes, ma'am. And let's you know what? I'm shooting for a 38. That's what I'm shooting for.
I think that is amazing. It's reasonable, it's doable, and it's going to be damn sexy.
I hope so. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Of course, we'll talk soon.
Soon. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Andrea, once again, thank you for coming and being a guest on the podcast. Love to have you back soon. Definitely not going to wait 3 months before I have her back on. And you know, she kind of alluded to it. We had a bunch of things go on, and one was obviously the birth of my daughter. We kind of that week we had something planned. Baby came, we couldn't record any schedules. Then the hurricane came by, and then after that, with the passing of Hugh, I didn't want to bother her at that time. I know Hugh's been big into helping her get started and giving her a platform, and so I kind of backed off. So that's kind of why it took so long to get her on, and I'd hope soon to get her on again. Definitely won't wait as long. So if you have any questions that you want me to shoot to her, or you want me to talk to her about the on the next podcast, definitely I'm going to try to do those. Definitely not doing, I can't, I don't have an access to the gym to do those lat pulls. They sound fucking amazing. Just where I'm at here, I don't have access to a gym that has that, and I'm cheap and I'm not going to pay for a gym when I kind of have one at home. So what I am going to do is continue to work on just hanging and hopefully I can get some pseudo pull-ups here shortly, or at least some total bars. Guys, the total bar video, when I post it, it's going to be huge. Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning into the podcast. Please share it, subscribe, rate and comment. Help me tremendously. Thank you, guys. See you next week. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Fat Boy Podcast. Have a nice day.